You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Giants, Jets, and we're talking football right now with, I think, one of the best that we have here on our roster at ESPN, and that's Bill Barnwell joining us here as he does every Saturday at 1 o'clock on 98.7 ESPN. Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for your time, my friend. How you doing?
I'm good, Anita. How are you?
Better than most, especially here in New York. I mean, it's really doom and gloom. It's very, 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 very sad. I was on Daily Wager this week. We talked about the Giants and the Jets and the probability of either or both teams going 0-16. And I think we've both covered the NFL long enough to know how it's just as difficult to go 0-16 as it is to go 16-0. But both teams, you can get it 15-1. To go 0-16. My money is on the Jets. I think the only game that I think is likely for them to win is week 12 against the Miami Dolphins, who I think at that point in time will have Tua at the quarterback position if he does play at all this season. But your thoughts on the Giants and Jets, and do you see one of these teams possibly going 0-16, Bill?
I would say no, but obviously they're in contention. And I think that's the scary thing, right? Obviously, usually you have something break right, something comes out of nowhere, you get a game where the other team, fumbles the ball four times and you turn into a victory. But it's kind of scary that we're four games into the season and it seems like a totally plausible outcome for each of these two teams. I do think the Giants are in better shape than the Jets. The schedule's a little easier. They play in the NFC East, which is a disaster across the entire division. I believe the second worst division in the last 50 years by their win-loss record through the first four games of the year. But, yeah, absolutely. Look at this Jets schedule. It's not the toughest schedule. You have teams like the Chargers. You have the Dolphins twice, the Raiders. Those should be winnable games even for bad teams. It feels like it would be a monumental victory for the Jets, especially given how many injuries they have. Of course, now Sam Darnold's hurt. You've had Adam Gase saying he's going to ramp up practice, even if the sports science people don't agree to it. It really feels like they're just sort of throwing stuff at the wall and hoping something sticks. And, so far, nothing has stuck for the New York Jets. And I don't think they're going to go in 16, but I also can't sit here and tell you that I think there's even a game on the horizon that I feel have any confidence that they're going to actually pull out a victory in.
And looking at the future for the Jets, whenever I do another sports talk radio show somewhere around the country, the one question that is posed to me quite often is, what's the future for the Jets and Adam Gase? Is Adam Gase on the hot seat? Is he going to be let go? And I really don't have an answer with that because I know how instrumental Adam Gase was in getting Joe Douglas here. What are you hearing? What do you know? What do you anticipate? Do you if this is a Jets team that only wins one game, let alone God forbid they go 0-16, do you envision Adam Gase still being the head coach here?
I can't imagine he would be, but I don't. It really is strange. This is a guy who could have been fired in the first half of last season, and I don't think any Jets fan would have been too upset about it. He could have been fired over the offseason, but they did have a hot stretch at the end of last year, but mostly playing against bad football teams. I don't think ownership is particularly inclined to make a move in the middle of the season, and I can understand why. I wrote about the Bill O'Brien thing for ESPN this week, and as skeptical as I am of Bill O'Brien's moves, as critical as I was, I don't think it helped the Texans to fire him now after an 0-4 start. I don't think it solves any of their problems. For the Jets, let's say you fire Adam Gase, and I think he's based on his record, I think you could fire him and absolutely justify it. You're going to promote Greg Williams probably to your head coaching job. He's not going to be your head coach of the future. He has not been a successful head coach in the past. You're going to hire somebody else in the offseason. The only thing that changes things for me is the idea that Adam Gase might be putting his players' health at risk. And we've seen this with Mekhi Becton last week. We saw it with Sam Darnold coming into the game with a shoulder injury, or leaving the game and then coming back into the game with a shoulder injury, and of course not being able to play this week. With Avery Williamson last year, where he was playing with the backups in preseason, and then towards ACL with C.J. Mosley, who came back early from a groin injury with Kelechi Osemele last year. There's a history here and a trend here of a guy who is not doing the right thing by his players and keeping them healthy, and particularly for the Jets' most important players. So to me, that's the thing that would make me, that give me pause if I was an owner. But, it doesn't seem like the Johnsons are really that concerned about it. I think when I think about the Ben McAdoo, Jerry Reese era, you know, things didn't really come to a head until they benched Eli and ownership really sort of got a sense of how disgusted, you know, Giants fans were with what Ben McAdoo was doing. And that kind of led to his firing in midseason, which I don't think they wanted to do. So with Gase, you know, there's either going to be a moment where everything comes to a head and ownership's going to realize that they have to move on, or they're going to lose season ticket holders next year. But, you know, I just, if it hasn't happened yet, you know, what's it going to take for Adam Gase to get fired in midseason?
Which, by the way, quick note here, I follow Eli Manning on Twitter, and he's adorable. He posts pictures of his dog licking his face. He posts pictures of his four kids and how excited he is to spend time with them on the weekend. You know, for Giants fans out there that, you know, because he was so stoic on the football field and you didn't get to meet or know the person Eli Manning, he really is a good follow on Twitter, and I think is really being very transparent and showing a lot of personality. And so I highly recommend you guys go out there and follow Eli Manning on Twitter. I think he's a great follow. And just segueing into the Giants, taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, you mentioned that division is just god-awful. I mean, the Eagles are at the top of the division right now because of a tie, for God's sakes. But I find this very interesting because now you've got Jason Garrett going back to Dallas, obviously knowing Dak Prescott. I know the offense is very different. Well, maybe not very different, somewhat different, but still, you giving the Giants any shot this week in upsetting the Dallas Cowboys? I want to say the line's at like 9.5, Bill.
I mean, you have to, right? You know, it'd be one thing if they were playing the Packers, they were playing the Seahawks, and it was like, okay, this is a team playing great football. The Cowboys are not a good football team right now, Anita. I mean, this is a team that can't hold on to the football, a team that can play defense. They're blowing basic run assignments. They're blowing coverages in the secondary. They're a mess right now. They're better than the Giants, but that doesn't mean they're good. There's a big gap between the Giants and good, and the Cowboys are somewhere between those two. And, you know, this is a Cowboys team that just lost Tyron Smith for the season, their star left tackle. They've already lost Lyle Collins, their star right tackle. They've gone from being one of the best offensive lines in football to one of the worst. And that's when you have the possibility of having a game where you do force two or three takeaways and you do get pressure on Dak Prescott and you do create mistakes. That's not out of the question. So I think the Cowboys are the better team. I think the Giants are a mess right now as well. But, you know, if there was ever going to be a game where Daniel Jones kind of got right and had an impressive performance, it would be this game against the Cowboys. And we saw last year, I mean, Daniel Jones is not the most consistent guy, but when he gets a good matchup, he can explode. He can have huge games. He had huge games last year when he was playing some of the lesser defenses in the NFL. So, you know, to me, I would absolutely not want to lay 8.5 or 9.5. I think the Cowboys are going to win, but I think the Giants' chances of winning are a lot better than maybe their 0-4 record might seem.
You know, he's so damn athletic, Bill. If he just stopped turning the ball over, it's so frustrating because I think a lot of people are underestimating just how athletic and how good he potentially could be. Anyway, there's a few dogs that I like this week. Carolina being one of them. I've got them. I already put money down on the money line. I think they straight up just upset the Atlanta Falcons. I like Cincinnati's getting 13.5 in some places. We just, wow. I might play a three team tease here with all three dogs, with the Giants and Cincinnati and Carolina getting points. I just might do that. You know, COVID-19 affects the NFL yet again, and so now we've got two games on Monday night, the Rams and the Saints, Denver and New England. What are you hearing about Cam Newton? Are we sure, is he not going to be active, therefore not attractive on Monday night? Are we going to get another dose of Hoyer or Stidham on Monday night? What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think we're probably going to get Stidham. You know, with Cam, he might, you know, I think it's going to be a last second thing. You know, obviously, it's not just testing positive, but also the reality of, you know, you don't get to practice for a week. You lose that sort of sharpness when it comes to working with your receivers. You're resting, so you're not in great physical shape. And he might have some impact from the injury, from the illness as well. I mean, Cam has been quarantining from all we've heard. It seems like he's doing pretty well, but you know, you don't know until you're on the football field. So wouldn't it be shocking if he sat out for a week? I mean, I think it makes sense for him, honestly, to sit out for this upcoming game. And then I believe the other bye is in week six, right? So then he can get 2 weeks off, kind of be fresh, and then come back for the San Francisco game in week seven. So I think not only Cam is going to be out, but I would assume Stephon Gilmore is going to be out as well. So, I mean, the Patriots are talking about maybe their best player and their most important player on both sides of the football. So, you know, I mean, the Broncos are not a great football team. They are maybe the most injury hit team in football. And I can see Bill Belichick saying, hey, you know, why risk Cam? Why risk Stephon Gilmore at less than 100% when we can probably beat, you know, the Broncos without those two guys?
And then Tuesday night, you've got the Bills and the Tennessee Titans. And this week, there's been a lot of talk and a lot of chatter, and especially on social media, what's fair, what's not fair. I mean, listen, this is... And I understand the frustration in regard to the Tennessee Titans, and if they did not follow protocol, and how other teams in the NFL are really disappointed to them, and what kind of should they be punished? But this is the world we live in right now, and you know, we've got to duck and weave, and we've got to adjust. Are you kind of on that side in regard to, like, this really isn't fair for a number of teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Buffalo Bills? Like, where do you fall in the assessment of how the NFL is handling COVID-19 and rescheduling?
It's incredibly unfair. I mean, it's the reality of the situation. And we, you know, I think Mike Tomlin's response to this was great. You know, he said, we have to play 13 games in a row. We don't care. We're just going to have to do it. And I think that's the right attitude to have. But I think it has to be frustrating if you're the Steelers, if you follow the protocol, you do the right thing, and you have another team not just get a random positive test, because that's one thing. You know, but by all accounts, Cam Newton getting a positive test out of nowhere seems to have been a random incident, and that happens. That's one thing. But Tennessee not only having an outbreak, but we've heard reports of them not wearing masks in their facility. You've heard reports of them practicing after they knew they were not allowed to practice. That doesn't impact the Steelers directly, but the Bills, of course, are now impacted. The teams around the Bills are impacted. You know, that's just above and beyond. And not only that, but you've had their players going on Twitter and saying, you know, like, it's our livelihood. We did what we thought was best. You know, you have Kevin Byard coming out today and saying, I'm keeping track of everyone who said we should forfeit a game. Like, there's not – it's very Astros-y. You know, there's no sense of we screwed up, we made a mistake. That's one thing. But they're almost indignant about it. Like, how dare you – criticize us for practicing outside of the facility when we knew we should not have done that. I just find that really off-putting, because everyone is making a sacrifice. Everyone is dealing with the consequences. Everyone has to deal with it not being a normal season. So when you have these other teams who are being honestly pretty humble and pretty, you know, pretty thoughtful about it, to have the team that actually caused all these problems be so aggressive about saying, no, we didn't do anything wrong, when it's clear they did something wrong. You know, it just, you have to feel like they deserve punishment. You just don't get it. You know, they don't get what the sacrifices their teams are making. They're being privileged. They're acting like they are above the laws of the NFL and the rules of what everyone is dealing with. And, you know, I think the NFL has been very aggressive about punishing coaches who have been not wearing their masks. And I think you're going to see a very significant penalty hitting Tennessee to sort of send a lesson to other teams and say, hey, we can't deal with this. We can't uproot everyone's season. You have to be on top of this. And if you're not going to be on top of it, you're going to pay the penalty for that.
He is Bill Barnwell. You can see his work all over ESPN, ESPN.com, the NFL site. Bill, always a pleasure having you on. Please, again, know how much I appreciate your time, and enjoy week five.
Anytime, Anita. I'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.